happened again. I dropped something in that space between the car seats, between the driver's seat and the passenger seat. Everything is, what, they have magnets in there or something? Everything gets pulled down into that crevice. My ID card, my WGN ID card,
oh, no,
fell in there today.
You're kidding. Did you get it out?
Yeah, I did, finally.
What is that thing called? Everybody told us about it. It's there's a product out there that you can...
Remind us, 312-981-7200. Yeah. That's our text and our phone number, 312-981-7200. Yeah, and no matter what kind of car you have, stuff is... It's not so bad when you get a petrified French fry in there, when some food falls in there. But
I think
because
it's
you don't need to retrieve that. But keys fall in there, credit cards, money, and it always ends up in that slot that you can't quite reach. And then you're like crawling around to get it. That's what I was doing today before I pulled into the parking lot, because I needed that to get into the parking lot. So I had to pull over and then move the seat all the way forward, all the way back, try to get it.
Well, I'm glad I wasn't in the car with you, because you are so kind that you dropped me off really close to the door. All I have to do is jump over, climb these little illegal ladders, an illegal ladder. Go.
Why is it an illegal ladder?
Because I have been told over and over again by security not to jump on that thing, but
for your own safety, you mean?
Yeah, but it's there, and it's like it saves you a ton of, I mean, it's a challenge. I like jumping on it.
I think Frank may know what we're talking about here. Let's get him punched up here. Can I do that now?
How about Marianne?
There we go.
Hi there.
What's that product called?
Well, they have regular kits that are made for it, but if you go to the hardware store and just buy some pipe insulation, it's black and it goes over like water pipes and stuff. It's rubber. Cut it in half, put one on each side, and it fills it up, and it costs you about $2 versus buying one of them things off so $15 or something.
Yeah, but I'd have to hire Lou Manfredini to install that, wouldn't I?
Yeah, because Bob does not cut things.
I think you could, well... You got to be able to use a razor blade, yes.
I think I'll just buy the product. Drop Stop is the name of that thing that you can get. Drop Stop.
Okay, but wait. Frank, can you explain it again so that everybody can understand? Because this is a great hack, okay? Mm-hmm. Explain it again. What do you buy at the hardware store?
Rubber insulation, like a pipe insulation. Like if you had a half-inch water pipe and you wanted to insulate it, it's a piece of rubber, and it's split on one side, so you can put it over the pipe. So all you do is cut it in half, and you got two halves of rubber, and then you kind of tuck it in there, and it keeps the stuff from going down. And I got them on both of my cars.
Does it look nice enough, or does it look junky?
No, it's a piece of black rubber, so unless you got, I don't know what color interior you got, but it's I got a Honda with gray interior. It kind of looks fine.
Well, what do you do for a living? You a handyman, Frank?
No, I drive a truck.
Oh, are you on the road right now?
I'm pretty handy. I'm retired. Mm. I drive a little truck now.
Mm. And are you behind the wheel at the moment?
Yes.
And so
hands free.
Good for you. And I know you said it's a little truck, but can we hear the horn anyway? That's a good one.
That's a good one.
Get out of Frank's way. Where are you?
A little baby truck.
Are you on the expressway?
No, I'm just in Villa Park running around delivering auto parts.
Frank, appreciate your help today. How about a gift certificate to Rudy's Bar and Grill, a classic Chicago bar and grill on Madison between Michigan and Wabash, worth $25. Hang on and we'll get that to you, okay?
All right.
Thanks for calling in.
Talk to you again soon. Yeah. Hey, that's a first. Did you hear that? He said thanks for listening. So he meant thanks for listening to him.
To him, yeah. I love that.
This is very sad news for anybody who's ever been to Apt. Bob Apt, the beloved patriarch of the Apt family and CEO of Apt Electronics, passed away yesterday. He was only 77. That's not very old anymore, is it? He had been struggling with cancer for a few years. But even so, he was always there in Glenview every day till about a month ago, calling into the store, checking emails right up to the very end. Always a very hands-on guy. He'd walk around, and it was legendary, the stories about how he'd walk around and make sure at the end of the workday and at the beginning of every day, everything was just right in the perfect position. And he was really something special, known and loved by all of Apt's nearly 1,300 employees. And I didn't know that he... went to a high school in my old neighborhood. He went to Von Steuben.
He was such a great guy, and anybody who knew him said this about him. And he was also a noted philanthropist. Did you know that?
Yes, as a matter of fact, in lieu of flowers, contributions to four autistic kids in Glenview requested by the family. Service will be Sunday afternoon, 2:30 a.m. Shalom on Vernon Avenue in Glencoe. He started it, Bob's parents were the ones who started Apt on North Milwaukee Avenue. That was back in 1936. And Bob started working at the family business part-time in 1953. And then, of course, they relocated several times, and now they're in Glenview. And he was the largest, the big driving force for growing the business, which now holds the title of largest single store retailer of electronics and appliances in the country. And they've got that big showroom.
I know. It's just, it's a great, I like to take people from out of town. That's like one of my tourist stops. Let's go to Apt Electronics, mm-hmm. which, by the way, started off in as you said, in 1936 as Apt Radio.
Mm, yeah,
Apt,
that's right.
Radio.
Bob apparently was always a big fan of the big Las Vegas hotels and Steve Wynn's property, so he wanted that Apt showroom to feel like that, and he did.
And
many times Apt was voted best workplace in Chicago. Really a special business and a special guy, and he will be missed by so many. Bob and his wife Alice, he was married for 54 years, had four sons, Mike, Ricky, John, and Billy, and they all got college educations and had jobs in the so-called real world before deciding whether they wanted to go into the family business, and eventually all four did do that. And they share the title of co-president of Apt Electronics. And now they've got grandkids working in the family business, because it's been going on now for, well, it'll be 80 years next year. And it's really unfortunate Bob didn't get to celebrate 80 years with the family, but yeah, everybody will always be thinking about him. And our condolences and thoughts to the family.
To the family, yes.
We'll take a quick break here, and then I want to talk about a Mary Schmeek column I didn't get to talk about was it last Friday, I think, she wrote about summer parties, and she wrote about how summer is party time for many people, especially in a cold place like Chicago, where winter hermits look for any chance to gather outdoors in groups. And then she wrote that this means the party phobes are out in force these days, attending parties they're not sure they want to attend but wouldn't dream of missing. Want to talk about
that? Sound like somebody I know?
Yeah, after this, we'll get into it. I love this column Mary Schmeek wrote last week. Headline, Summer Parties Serve Up Opportunities to Face Fears. And she writes, I used to hide in bathrooms at parties. This was quite a few years ago when I went to more parties than I do now, and my party phobia was at its peak. At almost any festive gathering of more than a dozen people, there would come a moment when I couldn't handle the noise or trade another word of banter, and no longer able to tame my desperation, I'd say sweetly, will you excuse me for a moment? For the next few minutes, I'd sit on the edge of the party giver's tub, soaking up the peace, sometimes reading, and hoping that no one at the party needed the bathroom for more conventional purposes. Eventually, with my party battery recharged, I'd return to the fray. "Oh," someone was apt to say, "I thought you'd left." I'd realize then that I could have left, maybe should have left, and that in my absence, the party hadn't skipped a noisy beat. So why was I still there? Because party phobia is often characterized by contradiction. You can want to leave and want to stay in alternating breaths.
You know, there is this very real syndrome where people are just afraid of not being invited. And I forget what the acronym is, but it is actually a thing. So you don't want to be left out. So you want to be invited.
Yeah, I want to be invited, and then I don't want to go. But I want to be invited.
You know, you're so rude because all your friends
I shouldn't say that.
Who invite you to things are listening to you right now.
Well, no, I don't mean any party or in every party. I just mean most. You're more sociable than I am. I can't help it. Well, it's the small talk, I think, that I'm bothered by. I like, you know what? Every party, just like I think every play, when we go to the theater, every play should be 45 minutes. Usually at intermission, I'm pretty much done when I go to the theater. And a party should have a time limit. That's all.
They usually do.
Yeah, but it's like 4 hours.
4 hours? That's not long for a party. You know, you get there at 7 and leave at 11? Come on. That's a dinner party. You're so rude.
I'm not being rude.
My problem is this. You have a major microphone to say this to all the people that might or might not invite us to.
Anybody listening?
And,
no, let me.
And let me finish. And then because I am married to you, they won't invite me and not you. I don't get invited either then. And then I sit at home really upset because I'm at home and I'm going from room to room.
I'll fix it right now.
And then you're following me around to every room.
Well, you're the only person I want to talk to.
I want to see and talk to other people.
All right, let me clear this up right now. If you happen to be a friend, a colleague, family, and you've either invited us to a party, you're thinking of having a party, thinking of inviting us to a party, what I just said does not apply to you.
Who does it apply to?
Everybody else.
Everybody else who would invite you. You're saying
except the people that we know that are listening.
Yeah, right. That makes no sense.
Mary Schmeek writes, "My question is, who does like a party? Everyone I know claims to be a party phobe.
I love parties.
P-H-O-B-E. But we all go to parties and, if pressed, would admit we usually have fun. Sometimes, says a party phobic sage, I think the secret is to tell yourself that you can leave in 10 minutes. If you hold out, most of the time the stress passes and you find yourself enjoying yourself again. Only the hardcore party phobe would say, I'd rather not be invited." I'm going to try that. Just say, I can leave in 10 minutes, see if that works. What I like to do is just leave without saying goodbye to everybody. That way we can slip out. Nobody knows you're gone. Especially with me, they don't know I'm gone.
That's not true.
They don't care.
They're our friends.
You, with your Cuban goodbye, you start. We need to start saying goodbye to people as soon as we get into a party because Marianne takes 3 hours.
You know what?
Say goodbye.
You will say to me in the middle of a party, a dinner party, like, "Let's sneak out." Like, there's only 12 people or 10 people. Like, think they're not going to notice?
No, it's hard to sneak out when it's a small group. I mean, when it's a bigger party.
Even when it's a bigger party.
I'm going to start
you
doing.
You cannot just slip out because there are good friends. They are our good friends.
I'm going to start doing what my dad used to do. He just would get up. Go over to my mother, hold the car keys in front of her face, jangle them in front of her face, and walk out the door. I'm going to try that. And then maybe you'll get the hint.
You're so rude on every level.
I'm not rude. This is not rude. The problem is I'm too polite. I'm too nice. And I suffer for it. For example, I want to go out and have a nice little walk with you in this nice weather, and you are too busy on your phone doing things, so I walk in front of you.
That,
So you can't keep up.
Not true.
You can't keep up with me.
First of all, I am a super fast walker, and I have been saying to you every night that we've been going out for a walk, I've been saying, could you please get off your phone? Stop it with your phone.
One time.
Because, you know, it's
I got an emergency call one time.
I'm talking about when you're walking.
You can't keep up.
You are reading your text.
Hang on. Let me hook you up to a lie detector.
All
right, I want you to answer.
For you. So then,
do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Who is on the phone more when we're out together for a run or walk? You or me?
You are.
That is perjury.
And by the way, the video that is on our Facebook page right now, that's not even one of our leisurely walks, by the way. We're at a mall.
How can you say, me?
The proof is in the video. Go to the Facebook page, look at the video, and Bob, you know, I was so annoyed by saying, could you please wait up for me?
That was the day I got an emergency call.
No, it was not. This is mall.
How can you say, your position when you're walking or running. You've got, I'm extending my hand up in front of my face, and Marianne has the phone in her hand, and she's looking at it. Really? That doesn't happen more often than not? No.
By the way, this day, that the videos from this one day, we were at a mall. And I was so sick of you walking ahead of me and me saying, could you please slow down and wait for me, that I then took out my phone and I just started walking and rolling video.
But you're never without your phone, and I don't even like to run with my phone. You are never without it, so you're always looking at it constantly. You perjured yourself.
Stop following me around.
It's that time again to chew the fat with the Bamas brothers, Jimmy and George, famous for their New Orleans-style Heaven on Seven restaurants and cookbooks, their talent for insulting each other, and for believing they're worldly experts on everything, even though they're just a couple of regular guys from...
Berwyn, Cicero, West Side.
And I'm glad
like
you guys are here.
Little West Side, huh?
Yeah,
and I'm glad you guys are getting along, because Marianne and I just had a fight. So
right now we're getting along. Wait till he opens his mouth.
Oh, you were criticizing the way your brother Jimmy was talking before he got
here. I might murder him by the end of the newscast.
That bad, huh?
Right. He talks like he's got a mouthful of bologna. I talk like my brother, because after my brother had the stroke. He was talking to me yesterday, and I says, I can't understand you. I can't understand you.
I was saying that to you. Like, what language are you talking in, for God's sake?
It's a good thing most of the time you guys aren't working together at the restaurant at the same time. Isn't that true?
I'm looking to open up another restaurant now because it's
looking to open. I'm looking to open up another restaurant in like Europe
because it's been way too much. I've been seeing him too much now. It's not good.
Are you really thinking about opening up a new restaurant?
No.
God forbid, no.
Remember last week, we talked about, among other things, pizza, and you guys mentioned Home Run Inn Pizza and said, are they still around? And I said, yeah, they're still around.
It's really good, too.
It's really good. I have three pizzas in front of me.
Well,
and Jimmy's, which one are you,
I have
cheese and sausage.
Already.
Listen to the email we got after last Friday.
I just tasted that pizza, by the way. It's delicious.
Thanks, guys. That was
good. Afternoon. I'm an intern at Home Run Inn Pizza, and we heard Mr. Surratt and the Banas brothers talking on the air about our pizza. And somebody was wondering if we were still around. We were hoping to drop off lunch to show that we are and remind you of how good our pizza tastes.
Nice.
We're actually opening a new location on Sheffield in the next few months, just south of Wrigley Field, in case you want to swing by after a Cubs game.
Nice.
You guys deliver in Glenview?
Please let us know when to drop by. Ben, thank you very much for that, and we let them know that today would be a good day. And Ben also sent a little note about Home Run Inn, and they're family-owned and operated, and soon to be 8 restaurants in the Chicago area, and their frozen pizza in more than 30 states, featuring the same classic taste today that they perfected in 1947, all natural ingredients, no preservatives, only the highest quality products, and you know what? The crust is really good, isn't it? Did you taste that?
Their frozen pizzas are really good.
Yeah, they are.
Did you taste the spinach one?
Too healthy.
No, you like the sausage mushroom,
delicious.
Right?
Delicious. Spinach well, goes the right through. I taste it
See,
all
I'm eating
right
this, and I'm remembering this is one of the first, like, three dates with my wife. We went to Home Run and Pizza. We went to a Sox game. She was working for the court system then. And then we stopped at Home Run.
Do you remember which one you went to?
31st. There was only one at the time.
Was it 31st Street, Jimmy?
Yeah, 31st. Right over Cicero, over the bridge from Cicero Avenue.
Well, thanks to them. And it is really good thin pizza. It really
so
is good.
So good. Yeah. Thank you.
And we're all enjoying it here this afternoon.
It was worth getting up this morning.
Restaurant. Oh, by the way, that reminds me. Now, the reason, of course, they sent the pizzas is because you guys raised the question last week. Home Run Inn Pizza still around? So this week, why don't we talk about Mercedes-Benz and pose the question, right. Are they still around, Mercedes-Benz? And then maybe like next Friday?
Or any car.
Who knows what'll come in here?
Do they import those cars to the United States? I didn't know that.
I don't know. You know, I would like that model SL500 or the convertible.
Nice. No, you can't just beg for it. You got to say, I wonder if they still have that, and then send one over.
I don't think they do they?
Which one?
SL63. That's a sports car, a little two-seater.
Don't know that one. Oh, wait a minute. I read that. Was that the one with the, it took the like the top off,
yeah,
the convertible? It was like a hard top that also was removable. Was that the one?
I'm not sure.
Nice car.
What's our address? What's our address here?
Tribune Tower.
Because George lost like 20 years at one point in time, you know?
I beg your pardon?
70s and 80s were good for him.
Yeah. That's right. Restaurant news, Texas de Brazil. Churrascaria? Is that how you say it?
Let Marianne say
Let me see. Oh, churrascaria.
Ooh. I love those rolling R's.
I know why you married her, too. Jesus, God.
Would you walk 10 feet ahead of me if we were at a mall?
No.
Well, I usually do because my wife is very slow when she walks.
I'm super fast.
My wife walks 10 feet
Well, apart. George is the slowest man on earth. He's the oldest 63-year-old man I know.
But I am super fast.
I hit a run.
Like, mark. I'm really fast. And Bob runs ahead of me. Because I feel like he doesn't want to be seen with me.
No.
No, the two reasons I do it. First of all, I honor the Japanese and I think the Chinese who do that. It's a custom there that the man walks 10 right. paces ahead. And I like the view from the rear.
Right, and the Latina,
then why
she should know. She should know that.
Oh, that's right.
That doesn't make sense, does
She's
it?
She's from Cuba, for God's sake. And she was a slow swimmer, too, so she was in the back of the pack when they were all swimming over.
Listen,
I am fast, and I was a fast swimmer.
I go to Nordstrom's with my wife, Patty,
yeah,
and she's out of the car in Nordstrom's, and I'm just getting out of the car. Can you wait for me? And there's times that I go shopping myself, and she goes shopping because I can't keep up with her.
Well, she just wants to start shopping.
Yeah.
Yeah. Back to Texas to Brazil. How do you say it, Marianne?
Churrascaria.
Ooh. they're opening up a new place in Streeterville, 210 East Illinois Street. They're going to open. Did you know that? 210 East Illinois Street.
What's the name of that?
What is it again, Marianne?
I think it's a churrascaria.
We're killing time.
Also, restaurant news, Manny's, after nearly 75 years in business, they're getting a big facelift there on Jefferson.
Really? Like what?
In addition to freshening up the look, the famous old-school Jewish deli in the South Loop, known for corned beef and pastrami, is expanding into retail by adding a 1,500-square-foot space where customers can stop in to take home Manny's menu items and other foods such as matzo ball soup and stuffed cabbage.
You know, I haven't had a corned beef sandwich or pastrami sandwich for Manny's from years. When did you have one?
What's the matter, Jimmy? George.
He's begging for a corned beef sandwich.
I guess next week we'll be having some deli food. Other hard-to-find traditional deli items will be for sale, such as pickled cow tongue.
Ooh, really?
And whitefish salad, alongside myriad various versions of lox and tuna salad. The deli will also feature Manny's baked goods, which are largely sold wholesale. The idea, according to fourth-generation operator-owner Dan Raskin, is to make it easy for customers to run in for items they can't find at grocery stores to heat up at home.
Nice. Can you say lox for me, please?
There's nothing to roll. Locks.
Ooh.
Let's see. On the cafeteria line, you can't just give someone a pound of cold meat they can keep in the refrigerator, said young Raskin, who runs Manny's with his father, Ken. People want these niche items that they can't get in other places. So the takeout deli will open by Thanksgiving. And they're also going to modernize the steam table.
And
double the size of the salad counter.
What was the gentleman's name that used to cut the corned beef there?
Gino. He's still there. He's still there.
Every people are so nice.
Gino, I think every 100th sandwich, either roast beef or corned beef or pastrami, you get a little tip of a finger in it.
That's nice. Extra protein.
No, he's never sliced a finger yet. He's tremendous, and he's a fun guy.
They're so
quick.
Sweet yeah. over there too.
Yeah, very
so sweet. And then
I like Kenny.
Way,
Kenny's a nice guy.
Yeah, Kenny's great.
Fourth generation, like you guys.
We're
well,
third.
You guys are third
Our
generation.
Kids are four.
You know, and
four.
I went there one time, and I was like, I mean, I've been there a lot of times, but one of the times that I went, I was like on a diet, and I wanted to eat super healthy, and then I had a great healthy meal there. You know, like a piece of fish,
a lean corned beef. You know what?
It was not a lean corned beef.
I get sardine
let loose once in a while.
She never lets loose.
Yes, I do. What do you?
Well, actually, she
oh
does.
My God.
She does. She lets loose when she orders steak, and I'll order like the petite filet mignon, and she'll order the diamond gym cut,
I'll eat the whole thing,
everything. Yeah, and I'll leave some of mine. Manny's also considering whether to open on Sundays for the first time.
Are they open at night?
I thought they were open on Sundays.
I thought they were too. They expanded the hours a while back.
I heard they have valet there now.
They do. I think they tried Sunday, but they're going to try it again, I guess. Because, you know, that corridor along Roosevelt Road has changed. People
right.
live there now.
A lot
now.
Of people live there now.
Yeah. So they're changing to go along with that. Let's take a break. And then if you have any questions, comments for the Banas Brothers, want a restaurant recommendation, want to tell us about some food, talk about whatever, 312-981-7200 will be the number to call as we continue our food fight here on WGN after this. Riding along with you on a Friday, Sorat and Marciano and the Banas Brothers. You see the Tribune story today, talking about riding along, that the Chicago River now has more traffic than ever. All sorts of different vessels out there. I think Mike Borgstrom, our pal from Wendell, was talking about how it's never been busier on the river. So maybe we ought to do traffic trouble spots
on
the water.
River.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's a good idea.
Yeah. And I think you guys should have, forget the food truck. Why don't you guys have a Heaven
yacht.
On Seven? Yes, a boat. How about that?
That's really nice.
Yeah, but you have a boat, and then how do you feed people?
We could serve alewives.
Alewife gumbo.
You mean yeah. like a...
Carp.
Like just serve the people on the boat?
No, you go on shore, and you go, and I'd like to get one of those duck boats. The duck, you know, the remember in Wisconsin Dells?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Get one of those. That would be pretty good.
Well, so you can go on land as well.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, well, you can't do that from the Chicago River. There's no place.
I heard the Chicago River it's too much traffic right now.
Well,
excuse me, wait, didn't we just say that?
No, a friend of mine has a nice sized boat.
Is there a time delay on this?
George is on a delay.
He's distracted because he just told me I look very Latina today.
She's got these royal blue pants on.
First of all, what are you looking at her pants for?
She's standing right here. What the hell?
Does that mean that Marianne looks like a Univision or a Telemundo anchor?
No, I do not.
No, say Univision, Marianne.
Univision.
Ooh.
I don't look like those beautiful
yes,
women.
Yes, you do.
Oh, no, I don't.
Yes,
oh,
yeah. Absolutely. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, you're a voluptuous
they
anchor.
They don't have a chance against you.
You should be on Channel 26. You don't have
no, that's not the
story. It's not Channel 26.
44.
Wait,
44.
Wait, is Channel 26 from 19 freaking 40, for God's sake?
That's the U.
Oh,
it's
okay.
It's the U. Your Seinfeld reruns on Channel 26.
Please.
By the way, you guys ever binge watch any of these programs everybody's talking about that are on Netflix and Amazon? You don't.
I've been
go into
watching
that?
this TV program on Channel 209 cable. It has to do with a lot of bands, and rock and roll and all kinds of
209,
stuff.
209, do you have DirecTV or
no,
Comcast?
No, it's Comcast. Yeah. 209
Palette. I don't know what, I don't have
palette, something around.
Oh, I know, Palladium.
Palladium, that's right. It's pretty interesting.
I get Palladium. That's a good channel. I think that's part of VH1 or something, but they run concerts and music documentaries. By the way, every time...
That's where Celia Cruz used to perform in New York City.
Who's that?
The Palladium.
Celia Cruz at the Palladium.
Ooh.
What, Palladium?
Every time...
Celia Cruz.
Every time there is anything on TV, and I guess it's on Palladium a lot because George is watching that music channel, but every time anything regarding Brian Wilson or the Beach Boys is on TV, George texts me.
I text you all
He
time.
Texts me all the time.
And you text with a lot of smiley faces and other emojis.
That's right. I do. Because I learned how to do them finally.
Yeah, Jimmy, do you use emojis?
No, I do not. I do smiley faces. So I do that.
You ever hear that band,
usually
Canadian
with tears
band
running
Rush?
Down my face and me smiling all the time. I usually do that.
Rush, sure.
Oh, I've been listening to them on
Look
TV.
At you.
Oh, man. They're
George
rocking.
Is getting hip.
Wow.
No, finally,
what year are you up to now, George?
I'm finally drug free so I can appreciate it.
Who are you listening to?
Rush.
From the Canadian band, right?
Mm-hmm.
Look, it even knew that.
Mm-hmm.
And he said Canadian band.
Yeah.
And Jimmy, did you have the same music taste as your brother growing
Jimmy
up?
What did you use?
No, I like, I like all across the board. I like hip hop. I like, Frank Sinatra.
He used to play the answer. What did you used to play? The trumpet?
Fast trumpet. That was last week's story. We don't want to talk about that.
Hey, you know what was on yesterday? Drumline. You ever hear Drumline?
No.
Oh, yeah. Remember Jimmy Drumline? With
it was on what?
Wait, drum wine?
Drum, not wine. What are you drinking?
No, you said a different
drum
it's,
wine.
It's a couple minutes of two. She's thinking about that already.
Drum wine.
It was on what?
It was on TV.
Oh no!
Well, it's a movie.
That's the southern bands,
right?
Southern marching bands.
I can't remember what the guy. What's the guy who? Nick Cannon. Yeah. He married. What's her face?
Mariah Carey.
Right. She was on Drumline. It was actually.
No, he divorced.
Good movie.
They just got divorced. They didn't just get married.
I march all over the house when listening to that.
Is that right?
Yeah, my wife thinks she'll lock me up.
Now, am I missing something? Or the last time I was in, I don't know about Naperville, but the Heaven on 7 down here on Wabash, is there New Orleans music playing there?
Yeah. Yes.
There is.
Yeah, we do. On Fridays Fridays and Sundays in Naperville, we play music.
And is there a science to the music, how loud it should be and what the tempo should be?
Lunchtime, we play loud, fast
for,
music.
Like our canned music that we have, we do. It depends what time of day it is.
If it's nighttime, you play soft, like Louis Armstrong.
Not really.
Is that a service? I mean, like, you don't do a playlist. I mean, do you have a service for the time of day? Is that
No, we just know. We just know you want to eat, when it's busy. We wanted to eat a little bit faster,
I remember years ago,
upbeat music.
So it's all subliminal. What other subliminal things do you do at the restaurant?
What else do we do, George?
That's subliminal.
You know what that means?
I just saw that on a Columbo rerun.
Subliminal.
With Robert Culp. So, George, you were saying you played the fast music at lunchtime
to move
the tables.
And you could see people eating faster and faster and faster. And next, get out. Okay, let the other person
It's up
sit
to
down.
People are... really eating with their body, they're moving, and it's kind of fun.
You know what? I just had an idea for you guys. Now that George is talking about all this music, why don't you put in a little booth for him? Let him be like a DJ.
A DJ.
And play. He can play Rush.
And my first guest is you.
Okay, so here's a text from 630. The best Greek picnic is this weekend at Assumption Church in Chicago.
Oh, really? Wow. Not in Chicago or in...
This is what the text says.
Where at?
On Central and Harrison?
No, that's not till the end of...
This person is saying the best Greek picnic is this weekend at Assumption Church in Chicago.
Is it in West Chicago?
I can't talk to a text.
Well, text a Mac.
I'll get it for you in a second here. Assumption Church picnic, right?
Yeah.
This is the annual picnic you're talking about?
Right.
Let's see.
Okay, while you do that, Bob... Mm-hmm. I love Mug's Pizza on Harlem.
That's really good.
Three generations. Her family was one of the first to sell pizza on the North Side. I've had 1949.
That's good.
Is it good?
Yeah.
What's the name of it?
Mug's.
Mug's Pizza.
No, don't know Mug's.
Yeah, Mug's is
thin,
good.
Thin pizza?
I don't remember, but it's good. I know that. I had it when the kids, when in high school, they'd always order it all the time.
Someone get in touch with us about that because I can't find any information.
I wonder
on
how
the
old
Assumption Greek Orthodox Church
Who?
Picnic.
Bert? Oh. How is Bert still doing well?
Bert's, yeah, saw Bert not long
we
ago
saw
at Poochie's.
Yeah, we saw him.
Yeah, right. He's still doing his thing. And Morton Grove, right?
Right, that's
yeah.
Right.
Well, boys, it's that time again to
it's another fun
say
it's
adios for another week.
Again. Okay, wait, I have Assumption Catholic Church.
No. Do we look
is
like we're Catholic?
It?
No, it's the Greek Church.
Yeah.
The Assumption Greek Church is on Harrison and Central.
But there is another Assumption, I think, in what it's either in Elmhurst or it's in West Chicago.
We will check the mailbox and get all that for you when we have the feedback department open up for business here in about 45 minutes. How's that? All right, guys. Well, we'll see you next Friday. Try to get along in the meantime.
Yes, we will.
Were there any recommendations or places you've been to lately that you wanted to share before
you could come tonight at our restaurant, Heaven on 7, you could experience George and myself working together tonight and tomorrow night.
On Wabash?
Who's going to be the boss?
That's what
you
think.
Who's the boss of who?
That would be me.
I'm taking off early.
You're the boss. You're the boss of George?
Yes. I'm taking off
early.
And
what's the worst thing that you could make him do as his boss?
Work.
One of the great things about Chicago and Chicago softball was evidenced by all of us in the studio here a few minutes ago. The Banas brothers are walking out, and our next guest, Al Magg, co-founder of the Chicago 16-inch Softball Hall of Fame, is here. And on the way out, the two are talking, and I said to the Banas brothers, Al Magg, one of the great softball players, and then you guys start saying things like, where'd you play? And then you talk about parks, right? This is the only city where that happens, isn't it, Al?
Well, it's either parks or what parish you're from.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also
high schools. That's kind of defined you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and
nobody wants to know what college or university
no,
you went to.
Yeah.
Not
at all.
In addition to working with the 16-inch Chicago Softball Hall of Fame, Al is working with Veteran Tickets Foundation, VetTix, a nonprofit foundation supporting our military community. We'll get to that in a minute. He also has written a book, and in light of the argument Marianne and I just had, this is the book we need to read. Social Media Isn't Social, Rediscovering the Lost Art of Face-to-Face Communication. Al, since we just had this discussion here, why don't we start with the book? And is this a book about the fact that the kids get together and nobody speaks to one another? They're just texting each other and so forth? Is that what this is about?
It isn't about our youth either. It's about our adults, and it's a little bit of everybody. Technology has made it so much easier for us to communicate, but it's also kept us away from really communicating face-to-face. I was just having a conversation by text with a very good friend, and, you know, why didn't we pick up the phone? There is a phone attached. You could actually call the person.
It's a great invention, the phone.
And it turns out to be a situation. How many times you go to a restaurant and see people just looking at their phones?
Oh, like all the time. But is this the kind of thing that, I mean, before, like years and years and years ago when their, you know, phones were first discovered, then the complaint was, well, now nobody sees each other because they're talking on the phone. I mean, but then we got used to it. I mean, what do you think about that?
There's some really good parts about social media and technology and so on. But I grew up at a very lucky time, and I think Bob's similar era. And we grew up without technology. And strangely enough, and I'll bet you do have the same situation, I still see the guys I hung out with, the gang I grew up with, the softball team I grew up with 50 years later.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so I hope not to pass away, but I have a sneaky feeling they might show up. But I think my e-friends on Facebook and Twitter won't be there.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe that
is true. And those softball games, you organize them by hollering out the window, hey, we want to meet at the park, oh, we'll choose up, or by going face-to-face. And organizational skills, I believe, were learned that way, and now it's supervised by other people, or you're just emailing or texting.
Oh, that
or something.
Is so sad. It is. The kids have no idea how to put together a team They don't know how to pick sides. You know, we pick sides with a bat, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And today, it's sad when it comes to that part of it. But the book is about both a business type of book, what it was like for me to take on a $27 billion company to use social media. So it's not like I don't like it and don't use it. I use it all the time. I go to bed with my phone, so I'm no different than most people. But there's a little balance into all this, but the middle part of the book is about the gang I grew up with, because I started asking them, well, what did you think? And they all found that they were successful in life. Now, some were presidents of companies, some were policemen and teachers. They all felt the same. They were successful in life because we grew up hanging out. They hung out in the bowling alley in the winter and the summer and the playgrounds and played softball, you name it. We hung out, went to parties, went to dances together, and we stayed for over 3 hours. And
yeah, and I was going to ask, did you want to leave the parties? And here, look, Bob is this age, and he doesn't even want to be invited to the party.
No, I want to be invited so I can say, no, I don't think so. I'd be offended if I'm not invited.
There was no technology back then. What happened to him?
Well, he just got old.
Old is the new young, Al.
Well, you know, I feel very young, and I'm in my mid-60s, and I can't complain. You know, life can be very good. We've been very lucky growing up in this era to start out with no technology and really get to know people, learn body language, learn who the guys who's BSing you. It helps you in your career, without a doubt, in how to work with people.
If I say any of these things to our 15-year-old daughter, first of all, she cannot hear those words. And I'm saying that all the time. I am constantly saying, learn how to read somebody's body language, their tone. Learn how to understand what they mean when they say something, and it's not just written on a phone. It's impossible, though. That she doesn't want to hear about this. Nobody does this.
Writing? Are you kidding? So I have a couple young folks I know that I think they write like serial killers because they don't know how to write. You know, the book is about a couple things. Somebody said it was funny, so hopefully it is. But it's all our stories growing up. But it's about balance. Number one, put the phone down a little bit. Get in the moment, be with people, talk to them face to face, you know, at a concert. Actually watch the concert and maybe watch the game, and you're spending a lot of money to be there. Why not enjoy it? You can always text and tell everybody later what you did. You don't have to do it during the show. The other thing is get engaged. Get engaged with people. Join a team. Get on a team. Go join the Cubs World Series committee. Wagon or something, and have some fun with it.
Yeah, Bob, get engaged.
Listen, here's the thing. I'm driving, and I think I speak for many dads. And I, of course, would always be listening to the radio. And then the point was made, you know, talk to the kids. Okay, so I turn off the radio, and we're in the car. Marianne's on her phone. The kids are on their phones. I've got the radio off. Nobody's talking to me. So I turn the radio back on again now. By the way, the book is Social Media Isn't Social. Al Magg is the former chief communications officer, rediscovering the lost art of face-to-face communication. And Marianne, I want you to read that book tonight.
Okay, I'll do that, Bob. And then maybe we will go to parties together. We'll be sociable.
You know, if you do, text me that you were there. Send me a picture.
Let me.
So you don't like Snapchat then, no, right? Because Snapchat is like in the moment. It's sort of.
No.
I love what you have here in the book. You've got culture comparisons. For example, you have today, Twitter. 50s and 60s, grapevine and word of mouth. Today, CNN, 50s and 60s, Walter Cronkite. Today, Facebook, 50s and 60s, scrapbook. Today, LinkedIn, 50s and 60s, Rolodex, and so on and so forth. But as you say, it's important to embrace this. Do you think, Al, because it's all relatively new, that's why so many people are obsessed with social media, that they are looking at their phones constantly, and then after a while it sort of gets back to normal, hopefully?
You know what, I believe you're probably right, because I think people will use it to the extent they really need it. They should use social media, they really should, to extend their reach, tell their stories, have fun with it, and so on. But don't rely on it to be your way of creating friendships with people. That's all.
And is the book, I mean, is the intention here, you read this book and then it's going to help you sort of wean yourself off of being obsessed with your phone and using it compulsively?
I doubt it.
Well, I mean, it just makes you think about it. Because I think that we all do things so mindlessly all the time just because it's there. And also, by the way, a lot of times it's just easier. I mean, I personally don't like it that, you know, if I'm upstairs and Bob is downstairs, he texts me. You know, or he emails me.
I learned that from you.
But I think that there is, like you said, there's a time and a place for it. And there are people that I would rather text than pick up the phone and talk to them. Because why is it that I feel this way? And so many people do. Why is that easier?
I think because it's only a few seconds you're
right.
taking and you get a quick answer versus if you get on that phone, you might be there for 15 to 20
yes,
more minutes
exactly.
talking about everything. So it does work. I'm not saying it's bad. As I said, I really use social media a lot and I do extend my reach. I told everybody to listen to your show today on social media. That's for sure.
There you go.
And I got quite a few comments. One said, tell Bob that he did really well catching a ball to win the softball game the other day.
Wow. I've been hearing about this
yeah,
from
but
Bob.
What concerned me was I think he had a glove on.
So oh, that's a whole glove, other that's a whole
you,
other story.
If he had a glove on, I don't want to talk to him.
That involves an injured finger in 16-inch
okay, here
softball.
We go.
He didn't tell me that part.
Keeping the orthopedic guys in business. The book is Social Media Isn't Social, Al Magg. Where can people get the book?
It's on Amazon.
You know what? I was going to say, this reminds me of when we used to, and I guess still do in some cases, be thankful sometimes when we'd get a voicemail or in the old days an answering machine. Do you still do that sometimes when you're hoping the person you're calling is not there? It does happen.
I think that's the way life is these days, yeah.
By the way, where did you grow up? What was the
Northwest Side. I went to St. Cornelius Parish, Lane Tech. So,
yeah.
North Sider. I live in Phoenix now, but that's not tough duty either. Phoenix is the western suburbs of Chicago.
It is. We hear
I
from a lot of
so,
people
yeah.
who listen online to us, transplanted Chicagoans. Let's take a break, and then I want to come back and talk about this organization you're connected with, Veteran Tickets Foundation, VetTix. And it's really wonderful work that this organization does to support our military. And we'll tell you how you can help right after this. It's the freaking weekend. Maybe I'm about to have me some. Bouncing into the weekend with you, Surratt and Murciano. Happy Friday. Al Magg is with us. The book is Social Media Isn't Social. And Al, before we talk about Veteran Tickets Foundation, just talk a little bit more about social media and the power of it that you were telling us about during the commercial, and the power of it versus the power of in-person communication.
I have had the fortune of 25 years of having a toy foundation with my wife and my son, and we do we have 25 years on Monday in Oak Brook and 15 years in Arizona, and we have raised over $600,000 and 12,000 toys for kids. I went on social media. I thought I'd try it. For the last 5 years, I've sent out messages, and I have a lot of people following me on LinkedIn and Facebook and Twitter and all that kind of stuff. I received, for the first time in 5 years, 6 White Sox tickets. Prior to that, zip.
Wow.
So, social media is nice. It extends my message. Everybody knows what we're doing. But not everybody comes, and not everybody is willing to give you money or anything like that. And it's not like I'm begging them or pushing
right.
them to do something. It's just, I just want to make sure people understand, face-to-face, I can get the same 150 people to come in Chicago, the old neighborhood guys from the Baggers, the guys I played softball with, also the Molex guys and so
They're
on.
They're friends.
The friends. They
right.
show up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The e-friends don't. And in Scottsdale, same 150, 175 people come, and those are the ones that give me all that money and all those toys to give away to the right areas.
Yeah.
So I think that's an example. Don't do it, but
well,
what you're saying
is moderation, like do a little bit, like take it for what it is. Yes, it's going to get the word out, But it's not actually going to get me everything because I have to try all the different methods. It's what you're saying.
Extend your reach, but you know, some people can actually pull it off. You hear those stories. It's the same type of stories you hear about people who win when they go to the racetrack. You never hear about all the losers.
Right.
Okay.
Well, if you want, and as you point out, if you want to stand out now, send a letter, right? Because that's the way to stand out, because you get all these emails, but nobody sends a letter.
Right. It's just the opposite.
All right. So let's get to the cause here, Veteran Tickets Foundation. And this is a wonderful, wonderful program. VetTix provides free event tickets to currently serving military veterans and family members, to sporting events, concerts, performing arts, and family activities. The military and veterans, of course, experience many difficult transitions as they reintegrate back into their families and their communities. So attending these events is just a great thing, improves morale, strengthens family bonds, and encourages service members to stay engaged with local communities. In gratitude for their service and to support their reintegration, VetTix is dedicated to giving back to those who give us so much. So basically, you work with all sorts of people, sports franchises, concert promoters, and you get tickets, and then you give the tickets away. Is that how it works, Al?
That's absolutely correct. It's that simple. The we gave away our millionth ticket. We've been doing this for 5 years. Our millionth ticket was last July. In about 2 weeks, we'll probably announce that we hit 1.5 million.
You're
kidding.
We've
grown that fast.
Wow.
And it's very exciting. We do have all the most of the professional teams are giving us tickets. And bottom line is, you know, they want to fill some seats. Why not fill these seats, have people spend money on, you know, hot dogs and beer and so on, and their jerseys for the teams and so on, instead of letting those tickets go to waste. We understand there's millions of tickets every week that aren't used.
So then how do you convince the organizations to let you distribute these tickets?
I think one of the most clever things about this is our folks say thank you. If you go on vettix.org, VETTIX.org, you will see thousands of thank yous. They wear the T-shirt saying VetTix, or they'll have a little sign, and they send notes back electronically to the sponsors. So if I gave away tickets, which I did, I couldn't go today to be here. I gave away my Cub tickets today. I'm going tomorrow, so don't feel too bad.
Okay.
VetTix. We'll make sure somebody goes that game today.
It's wonderful. I love the slogan to give something to those who gave. And if somebody wants to be a member, or if they want to donate or sponsor, how do they get in touch with VetTix, Al?
Well, if you are a veteran out there, if current serving, a vet of any era, if unfortunately if you're a family of someone killed in action, you are eligible. You sign in. And it will be verified by a third-party source. If so, then we will start telling you what tickets are available in your zip code, in your area. Okay, who can give us tickets? It's very simple. Anybody. I don't care if you're a season ticket holder, you are just have a couple tickets for the day, you are a team, you are a concert promoter. If you have an extra ticket, if you don't want to give it to your mother-in-law, give it to us. You know, it's pretty simple.
Can you do
simple.
It at the last minute? Yeah, you decide
in fact,
not to go?
One of my favorite stories is there was a Beyonce gave us 1,000 tickets with 24 hours notice, and we got rid of all of them.
Wow.
Well, so many companies, too, have season tickets, and they have trouble distributing them in their office. They got to get in touch with you. Can they just find the information at vettix.org?
Yes.
Okay, VETTIX.org.
That's how I first met them. I was, again, working for Avnet, this big company in Arizona, and we had season tickets to a lot of stuff and concerts and the sporting events, and ended up, I met them, and so we started giving them tickets. And what happened was the young lady worked for me. She said, Al, they are the only people that have ever said thank you for any tickets we give away.
Wow.
And what I understand from the teams and also our friends at NASCAR in Arizona, 80% of the people get our tickets. They show up where We've heard from everybody else, it's 20-25%. So our people are engaged.
Congratulations on the good work you're doing with VetTix, Al. Good luck with the book. Social media isn't social. Stick around Chicago because you can go to the Forest Park tournament this weekend, can't you?
Well, if it's the greatest 16-inch softball tournament in the world, and this is the place to be. It's a great party as well.
And 20 years at the Hall of Fame, 20 years of Chicago 16-inch Hall of Fame now.
We started the Hall of Fame 20 years ago. And you are our first host. And so in next April, we'll be celebrating our 20th anniversary of the dinners where we induct people. We've inducted about 500 people. Mm. Yeah, but the museum is at Forest Park. Please come by and visit us tonight or Saturday or Sunday and learn about the history of the game, which started here in Chicago. All softball started in Chicago in 1887, and not just 16-inch. So come on out and learn about it.
All right, I will be there with my fingers not completely straight, but you know how that works.
Well, we know how that works. We know if you really are good or bad player how your fingers are.
Exactly.
So. Good to see you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Marianne's Celebrity Report to the Nation is on the air.
Sponsored by Hollywood Casino Aurora and Joliet. Here we are in the Celebrity Newsroom. You can tell by the disco ball and the lights. What's in the celebrity report?
You can?
Yes,
okay.
You can.
All right. Well, when Bill Cosby needed Quaaludes to give to women he hoped to have sex with, he knew a doctor to turn to. His name was Leroy Amar. And so he was a Hollywood prescriber of the pills, and he became really famous among celebrities for prescribing recreational drugs back in the 70s. And did you know that Quaaludes used to be referred to as disco biscuits, Bob?
I think I may have heard that at Faces one time.
Yeah, and they, you know, of course, they make you euphoric and disorient you. But now people are talking about this part of the case, which is part of that 10-year-old deposition from the sexual assault civil case against Cosby in Pennsylvania. And according to the transcript, Cosby says he received 7 prescriptions for Quaaludes, all of which came from Amar, who is a gynecologist, supposedly for a sore back. So he was getting prescriptions for Quaaludes for a sore back from a gynecologist. Did you hear me?
There's not much you can say about that.
I know, that's crazy.
Mariah Carey is in the showbiz news. Hear about this? The little gift she got?
Yes, I did hear about the little gift she got. Oh, you know what? It's a $500,000 little heart. It's like a necklace heart that she got from her new boyfriend. She has been doing nothing but talking about this boyfriend who is apparently even richer than she is. And, you know, she's saying, my billionaire BF dropped $500K to make my chest sparkle.
Her chest was sparkling without $500,000.
It's an 18-carat yellow heart-shaped diamond.
Don't get any ideas, Marianne.
You asked me what I want for my birthday, Bob. And you just said it can't be $500,000. Last night, Thursday night, what a horrible story out in Lafayette. And Amy Schumer reacted quickly to the fatal shooting during a screening of her movie. And she tweeted out immediately, my heart is broken and all my thoughts and prayers are with everyone in Louisiana. She wasn't the only celebrity tweeting about it, though. A lot of celebrities were tweeting.
Judd Apatow has issued a statement, too, saying we as a country need to find a way to do better. Isn't that the truth?
Mm-hmm.
And Angelina Jolie will direct a Netflix film. The streaming service, which is delving into original feature film development, announced their partnership with Jolie last night. And along with Brad Pitt, they're hoping to reinvent Netflix for the big screen. They're first going to direct an adaptation of the 2000 memoir, First They Killed My Father, A Daughter of Cambodia Remembers. So it's about the Khmer Rouge.
Yeah, so that's going to be her second directorial event then, right? Because didn't she, wasn't Unbroken the first time that she directed a movie?
Was that her first? It was certainly the biggest.
I thought it was her first, yeah.
May have been.
So she's taking on big projects. And you know what? You know that I always have to report American Horror Story stories.
Mm-hmm.
And you know the next season is called Hotel. And all these people are in it. Lady Gaga is in it. Well, guess who else? Naomi Campbell is in it. And she is going to play a fashion editor who pays the ultimate price for her critiques. Doesn't that sound good? For season 5.
That show is just too out there for me.
I love that show. And what do you get somebody like Kylie Jenner when she graduates from high school?
Another reality show, I guess.
Well, she got a surprise party that was hosted by her sister Kendall and Ryan Seacrest. They threw her a party. But she also got a diamond-encrusted Rolex.
Of course.
Of course. You know, she's 17 years old, and she just bought a $2.7 million home earlier this year, and now she has graduated from high school.
This is why Americans are hated all over the world. Rare photos of Nirvana's first concert have blown up on Twitter. It was the first ever Nirvana concert, and these photos are now going viral. They apparently were rediscovered by the teenage daughter of a man who hosted the band's earliest show. A 19-year-old in Longview, Washington, tweeted a strip of images taken in her father's basement back in March of 1987. So now it's all the rage. And Hulk Hogan apologizing for using the N-word during an angry rant about his daughter's ex-boyfriend. Meantime, the WWE is cutting all ties with Hulk. Sources say they fired Hogan after learning of the transcript of comments made on his sex tape. He's in the middle of a lawsuit over the tape, and all of the remarks are expected to come out once the trial begins later this year. Anything else in the celebrity report, Marianne?
I think that's about it.
All right, well, let's open up the mailbox, and we'll check on your feedback. And also, I think we have straightened out the Assumption Church Greek Festival information, and that will be coming up momentarily. Western Union. Not too many telegrams in the mailbox, but we have texts, Facebook comments, emails. The Sarat and Marciano mailbox is open. Lots of feedback on the Jimmy Carter interview from yesterday. And regardless of what you thought of him as a president, it's hard to disagree with the fact that he is doing unbelievable work, has been, as an ex-president. This is from Jeff on Facebook. I liked his brother Billy better. He was a reality show before reality TV existed. And Mary on Facebook, one of the best humanitarians. Hope you can pound a hammer at age 90. Yeah, really. And yesterday, remember when we were talking to President Carter about softball? He used to play a lot of 12-inch in Plains, and he mentioned that he had to give it up about 10 years ago. And I thought about that all day yesterday. He was playing softball till he was 80. So, new hope for me.
I don't think you're going to quit ever.
I forgot to mention that when Al Mag was here. Yeah, but thanks for all the comments. Appreciate it.
I don't think you're ever going to quit. All right, some
can't
texts.
Quit because then you can't start. The idea is never stop because then you can't start again. Just keep going.
Right. Here's some text. 630 says, Bob, why can't 18-year-olds drive trucks? They can fight and die for our country. Allow Uber to pick up at the airports.
Well, he's bringing up two things there. The Uber controversy. I feel for our cabbie friends. That's all. But it seems like for consumers, Uber is the way to go, increasingly so. As for the truck drivers, the way I understand it now, you can be 18 and drive a truck in many states, but this issue was driving from one state to the next, being able to do that at age 18. And I'm just thinking about our daughter, who's 15, and she'll get her driver's license soon. I'm thinking, okay, a few years down the road, she's 18. Do I want her behind the wheel of a big truck? Not while I'm on the road as well. I just, and I know they need more truckers, but I just, I'm just concerned about that. That's all.
Let's move on. 708 is talking about that little space between your console and the seat.
Yeah,
and
the
we
car.
Were wondering what it's called. 708 says it's called Catch Caddy. And then 847 says it's called Drop Stop.
You mean the product that
that they sell. But 630 says just use AC insulation foam. It fits perfect and it's cheap. And 630 says, I did what Frank, that's the guy on the phone, I did what Frank is talking about, works great.
What do we call that? What do we call the actual space, though, that everything falls into?
The black hole.
The black hole, Siberia.
The black hole. All right. 708. Marianne, he drops you off at the door so he can stop and pick up a hot dog and get some food he likes before he comes to work. That's you dropping me off at the door. We were talking about this morning. You dropping me off.
Oh, that person thinks the reason I do that is because I want to go get some junk food?
Yes.
No, but it's a good idea.
Before you come to work, yeah. remember we were talking about, it's called Fear of Missing Out, and the acronym is FOMO. That's what 630 says, FOMO.
Right.
Fear of Missing Out.
Yep, I have it. People have it.
No, I have it. You don't care.
Oh, no, I have it, too. I do.
708, Bob, you are the master of small talk. You do it on the radio better than no one else, so what's the difference? What is this about?
What's the difference?
Yeah, what's the difference?
What's the difference between what and what?
No, it's just an expression, Bob.
Oh, what's the difference? Well, I take that as a compliment, by the way. Thank you very much. I think I've spent an entire career small talk. It's just,
I think that's the point they're making.
How come I can do it here, but I can't do it at a party?
Because, you don't want
to. Would people be upset if when we go to a party...
If you started doing this?
No. If I walk around with a microphone and headphones, maybe I'll do better.
You can only do it if you have a microphone in front of you.
Uh-huh.
312 says, rightly so, would Marianne like to come to our Christmas in July tomorrow? She can leave Bob. 847 says, Bob and Marianne love your show. Marianne, please appreciate Bob. However, I love your bantering about parties. I am Irish and can understand about the goodbye thing taking a long time at parties. This is from Mary Pat.
Yeah, and Marianne does appreciate me. I know that.
Yes.
That's why we can do this.
630 says, we have, all caps, no friends because my husband hates parties. We should start a Party Widows Club, Marianne. Men. Ugh.
See, and, you're not alone with this problem, Marianne.
No,
and I'm not alone with my problem.
309 says, Surratt, did anyone ever tell you sound like Jack Benny?
I'll take that as a compliment as well.
This one is from George Bliss, 312. Bob Surratt is my guy. Rough Riders versus Lane Indians. Who wins? Surratt is in the Softball Hall of Fame, by the way. Oh, you didn't know that? Well, I just texted my guy, George Bliss. This is not from George Bliss. Do you know what this is about?
Sort of.
You know all these people. You know, you do know what this is about.
Yeah. We've cleared up the Assumption Church Greek Festival information. It is this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, tomorrow 3 to 10, Sunday noon to 6, at 601 South Central Avenue in Chicago, just north of the Eisenhower, the big Greek Festival 2015.
773 says, take this with a grain of salt, but you two must have a fabulous sex life. Your flirting is great.
Hey now.
That's from Tim. And this has got to be my favorite message of the day because I do the same exact thing. 630 says, I wow my teenage daughters with info I learn in your celebrity report. I haven't fessed up yet about where I learn it.
Hey, impress the kids. Listen to us.
I impress our kids, too, by knowing all this stuff. I say, really? You didn't see the latest picture that Miley Cyrus posted on her Instagram?
See?
How did you not see that?
Yeah, and you thought this was all useless information. Anything else in the mailbox?
That's it.
All right. The conversation continues over the weekend. We read all your comments and, in time permitting, use some on the radio. But if you want to leave some comments, and sometimes our listeners even fight with each other on Facebook, and then we get involved. Facebook.com/Surratt and Murciano.